Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back. Let's go right to the phone. And joining us, as he does every Saturday at 10 from Tightland Outdoors, one of our favorite contributors, Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm looking outside, and I had put winter in my rearview mirror, and I couldn't feel better.
It is definitely feeling the vibes of spring and summer, that is for sure.
Yeah, it's actually more summer-like than I would even expect this time of the year. I think we'll get back in the 60s towards the end of the week, but I'll take that. That's good. I mean, it's beautiful out. The water's going to warm up. These few days of warm weather are going to trigger some activity, aren't they?
Absolutely, Terry. I think it's kind of a combination of a lot of things, you know, talking about the warmer weather. Obviously, we have turkey on the brain. You've been covering that. We're not going to hit it hard, but that warmer weather definitely helps out the activity of the turkeys. So hunters getting ready for that upcoming weekend of that. This weather couldn't be more perfect. I think we're so accustomed here, especially the people hunting the mountain birds, are so accustomed to that opening weekend being snow. It's just one of those things that it seems like it always snows on opening turkey. Right now, the forecast is looking good, so we're excited about that. And most importantly, we have two major things in the fishing world that this warmer weather does. One, obviously, as a front range angler, walleye is a peak species for us. The walleye are an absolutely full-blown spawn. But the warmer that water gets, it really helps that spawn kind of take place, and more than anything, helps wrap it up. So, you know, if you looked at your walleye population right now today, you looked at your Cherry Creek, Chatfield, Pueblo, we're approaching probably a 60-65% post-spawn activity, and then the remaining fish are in spawn. As far as on your main lakes, not counting Aurora, not counting Carter or Horsetooth, our pre-spawn's 100% done. So we're in, and the warmer that water gets and the warmer these days are, just helps put more fish into post-spawn. And I think if you talk to any angler that really understands the concepts of those spring walleyes, those post-spawn fish are the ones we want. You know, as opposed to a pre-spawn fish, it's just kind of moody, kind of picky, a spawning fish that you have to hit on the head. These post-spawn fish, they are hungry, they're aggressive, they're looking for food, which is probably the major ticket. So it's great. So this warmer weather, we can't be more excited about it. We're catching fish at Cherry Creek, Chatfield, Pueblo. We're catching them on a lot of cranks, a lot of the traditional post-spawn tactics with lead core. But there's some fish that are even moving far enough along with post-spawn. We're starting to see some activity on jigs and things like that. So it's very exciting to have this warm water to really push along those walleyes. And then on the other species, let's just say bass, for example, that warmer water is just getting them active. You know, they're not in spawn yet, but just that warmer water gets them out of that deeper pools, you know, kind of increases the metabolism, increases the food. So all the species that aren't spawning, that warmer weather just gets them excited. The warmer weather also draws in some snow melt. So now that we have river and inlets flowing, it's definitely boosting the activity of that. Even I was on the ice actually yesterday. I was on Terryall. We still have 31 inches on Terryall. So we are nowhere near ice off up there. But even on that fishery, I have water on top of the ice. So we had about 2 inches of water on top of the ice because the river, the inlet is flowing so hard. It's pumping water under the ice. So, you know, we had a lot of color to the water under the ice, which is good because that's just nutrient water. It's high oxygen water. And we had water flowing on top of the ice. There's so much water coming in. So it's just good to see. It had the pike fired up, the lake trotter fired up. Everything is happening with this warm weather. It's just kind of spring in nature. Nature loves that kind of post-winter opportunity. So very exciting, a lot of opportunities as an angler here in Colorado.
I want to talk a little bit about some techniques because I know a lot of people want to hear how you're chasing the walleyes. We did get a texter who wants to fish walleyes from shore at Chatfield. So if you were going to go out, are we still getting enough fish close to shore? Is there a shoreline? Chatfield has changed so much that I hesitate to give a personal recommendation, but I said you would be the man.
Absolutely, Terry. There's a ton of opportunity from shore right now. And honestly, you have a wide variety of techniques. For the most part, I would say if you want to give the easiest advice, it's really the low light period. Now, I'm not saying you have to stay out in the dark. I'm not saying you have to fish all night. But, you know, from 6 o'clock to dark, and even if you want to stay after dark, that opportunity for fishing, spawning fish, as well as a few, you know, kind of post-spawn fish, that opportunity exists. The whole, you know, basically like the North Shore or the North Boat Dock or North Shore Marina area. So the North Boat Dock area, obviously it's riprap, but there's a really nice path that kind of takes you down the north side of that before you really get into what we consider the dam. All of those rocks, they're a little deeper than the normal dam face. You don't get quite as snagged. So I would stay right inside the North Boat Dock. And that opportunity throwing some jerk baits has been great. You know, they've really been into kind of a brighter color this year than normal. So if you took like a Smithwick Rogue or a Husky Jerk, but they're really hitting bright colors like chartreuse, anything with like some orange on it, those baits are doing very well. So that from 6 o'clock to dark right there on those rocks is being very productive. If you go over to the South Marina, you have two options. You can go to the South Marina, fish near the points on the South Marina, so the handicap pier area. You have a lot of fish on those rocks, and those rocks are new. So they just basically put in that riprap, and walleyes are on them. As well as if you go over towards the Plum Creek, they consider it Roxborough Cove. Now, those are going to be 100% post-spawn fish, but same thing. The same jerk baits casting into Roxborough Cove, a lot of walleye opportunity there. So in the Roxborough Cove area, you can literally just walk up and down that point. So you're walking down the South Marina point and you're casting to the east. And there's a lot of fish in there right now. So those are a lot of great opportunities. And if you're, you know, limited and you can't go in the evening, same thing. If you went to the handicap pier, right there where they have a new pier, you fish the rocks to the side of it, but you could throw jigs from there during the day and have some opportunity at walleye. It's not going to be quite as significant as the low light period with those jerk baits, but you could definitely catch some fish on jigs right now at Chatfield because we're getting far enough along on the post-spawn fish where you can do that. But for certain, that last 2 hours of light or even the first 2 hours of light, you get to the lake at 6:30, 7 a.m., those fish are hanging in those spawning areas right until about 8 a.m. So you have a solid hour and a half in the morning if you don't want a night fish, where you can still really have a great opportunity with those jerk baits on those fish in the North Boat Dock Cove as well as over there on the handicap pier.
Now, I'll throw in 2 cents worth, too, is if you, you know, Chatfield isn't very far from Bear Creek Reservoir, and Bear Creek has sawguys in it. The sawguys tend to be a little more aggressive and a little closer to shore. So if you don't have any luck at Chatfield, don't be afraid to go over and try Bear Creek. You might find a little more shoreline activity for sawguys, which are just like a walleye there. So let's switch now to boats for Chatfield and Cherry Creek. So if you were out on Chatfield and you weren't trying to front end the TV host and the boat with you, how would you approach it?
You know, Terry, we got a lot of boat opportunities, and I've been talking to people all week because the warm weather's got everybody excited. You know, a lot of people are asking, inquiring about guide trips and just the bite in general. And we're in that post-spawn state. So you have the option. Now, obviously, Terry, everybody knows me. Everybody has a style and they have an idea of who they want to be as an angler. Terry, at the end of the day, we are about catching fish at Tightline Outdoors. It's just kind of who I am. And, you know, we talk to so many anglers that are artificial only, and I have no issues with bait. We just want to catch fish. So if you came to me right now as a general person who said, hey, I don't want a night fish. I'm going out on my boat daytime. I want to catch fish. Right now, for me, it's all about trolling lead core at both Chatfield and Cherry Creek. Now, this has been a very popular technique at Cherry Creek as long as the lake's been around. But though your post-spawn fish really gather in the basin at Cherry Creek. We've been talking about it. You troll lead core at, you know, 1.2 to 1.6 miles an hour, and you keep your bait 2 inches off bottom. Now, it is literally the simplest technique and the hardest technique all in one. I mean, the fish are stacked in the basin. The basin's 18 to 22 feet. It's literally the middle of the lake. Now, you can drive around aimlessly all day long, and you're going to catch fish. Ideally, you're going to stare at your graph, and you're going to find where those fish are at. You're going to catch some fish. As you catch fish, you're going to circle them, and there's definitely little pods of fish that are more active than others. So ideally, you really hone in on the most active fish and just really kind of, you know, pound on those all day. But when I say that these fish are just off bottom, I mean, obviously they're shad in that lake. We tend to see these walleyes feed on shad on the later portion of the post spawn. So let's just say it takes a walleye 3 weeks to post-spawn. And a post-spawn is going to be these fish regaining all the weight that they lost during the spawn. So, you know, you see a fish from the spawn time, you know, literally the moment they spawn to when they're what we consider 100% post-spawn, they usually lose about 25% of their body mass. Now, these fish will take, you know, 3 weeks to a month to post-spawn. So the first half of that, a good portion of these fish are in the mud feeding on midges, feeding on bloodworms. You don't believe me? Go catch a fish at Cherry Creek right now, looking at its mouth. You're going to see these little midges. You're going to see these little worms. They're gorging on them. So you have to have that bait just inches off bottom. I say this, but yet anglers take my advice. They go out there and they struggle. And then I go out there, you know, and the bite's hot because literally you have to be just off bottom. So you can use a line counter and never touch bottom and get the bait right there. Or you can just go very simple, let out line till you nick bottom and just barely lift it up. And you're constantly checking this. You're checking this every 30 seconds to a minute to make sure that you are just off bottom. You are off bottom. You're going to catch fish. Now, rifle through a whole bunch of baits and colors until you figure out what's working for you. But the fish, they're not as picky. I would say they're more picky on color than bait, but change things up. Go through a lot of stuff until you catch fish. But that bite is hot. You move over to Chatfield, that's the same thing. So right in front of Plum Creek, you have a large 20 to 25 foot mud flat. That entire area right there has a ton of daytime post-spawn fish. Same thing, they're activating on all that small forage down right off the mud. So you're doing the exact same technique with lead core. You can also at Chatfield go along basically the whole west shore. So from the north boat dock to the swim beach, kind of offshore a couple hundred yards, you have a massive mud flat there just inside of one of those roadbeds. And that's a great lead core bite. So again, I know a lot of people necessarily don't love trolling, but if you want to catch fish, that's probably the best way to do it. Now, if you're the angler that says, hey, I'm a walleye guy, I'm a jig guy, I don't want to troll, you would go to your Chatfields and Cherry Creeks, and you're going to spend a lot of time behind the windshield and using your electronics, and you're looking for the fish the furthest along in post-spawn, and those are the fish you're going to be sitting on structure. Ideally speaking, the sun helps them. So if I was going to say, hey, I'm not into trolling, you know, get me a jig bite, you're going to go out and spend a little bit more time in the afternoon. You know, definitely the second half of the day is going to be better for that. And you're looking at all your structure points. So your points extending into the water, your roadbeds, your flats, looking at the edge of all your structure like you would in summer, and just pull up and look for those fish. If they're on there, they're there for a reason. They're there to feed. So if you see them on the graph on structure and they're on the structure, they're very catchable with a jig. And you can throw paddle tails. You could throw twister tails. You could tip that with bait or run them as is. Probably the biggest thing that I do for these fish this time of year, I bulk up my bait just a little bit. So if I'm fishing a 3-inch paddle tail most of the year, this time of year I might fish a 4-inch or a 3.5-inch. I kind of use a little bit larger bait because those fish want to eat. So again, you're not just pulling up to the structure and fishing. You are very much graphing it. And you might have to go through a dozen spots before you find fish. Once you find fish, catch them. Once those fish move, get back behind the wheel and search. You are very much hunting if you're looking for those jig fish right now. And as we move through April, more and more fish will start stacking on structure. But right now, if that's your technique, you definitely have to move through a lot of spots before you find those key spots.
What about the fish that are still on the mud flats eating the bloodworms and the midges? Have you tried? I know it's a slow tactic, and a lot of times people get frustrated with it. But have you tried live bait rigs like a Lindy rig and a Nightcrawler, a Leech, a Minnow?
Yeah, absolutely. And that bite does exist. I will say you're not getting quite enough reaction out of it, so it's not quite as good. But if that is your technique, I would try to do something that you can cover the most ground with, because those fish are spread out. So a traditional like Lindy rig or live bait rig with a minnow, a crawler, a leech, you're usually pulling that at maybe 0.7 to maybe a mile an hour, but after about a mile an hour, you're just dragging it too fast. It doesn't look natural. So if you switch up to like a slow death technique or a revolve, which is very much a 65, 70 degree technique, but that behind a bottom bouncer, a three-way or a larger live bait rig, you could bump that up to maybe 1.2 miles an hour. and you can cover enough ground, you get enough movement out of that revolver, that slow death style hook, that you can activate those fish. So if you don't have lead core and you're really looking for to still kind of catch fish, slow death would be the way to go because it allows you to get a little reaction and still cover quite a bit of ground. But with that, if you don't have lead core, I think three ways is probably another great way. Now, you can, you know, search up the content that you've produced about three ways. I have some stuff out there. But three ways, you literally take a three-way swivel, do a dropper down to, you know, anywhere from a 1 to 3 ounce weight, and then you do 3-4 feet of line out the back, and you can put a little crankbait, a stick bait, and you can drag that in that mud, and that's going to put that bait that 3-4 inches off bottom, and that is a great way to catch fish and not have to invest in equipment. So you can take your spinning rods, your casting rods, your bottom bouncer rods, run three ways and run little crankbaits, little paddle tails, things like that behind that three-way, produce the same type technique that we're doing with lead core, and go out there and have a great day catching a lot of fish.
Nate, we are out of time. If people want more information or to get a hold of you, how do they do it?
You know, you can always go to our website, tightlineoutdoors.com, always on Facebook, Tightline Outdoors. Also, we encourage everybody, our first catch rate event is in 2 weeks, so super excited about that. It's our first night event, so it's like 5 to 11, so it's a later evening bite, but that's going to be catch rate. That's on April 16th. The information is on our website, and not to push guide trips, but if you are thinking about a guide trip this year, I encourage you, call us now. We are booking up so fast. We hate to have those calls where we disappoint people, so if you're looking for a guide trip, get a hold of us ASAP and we can get you out there on the water.
All right, my friend, we'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Terry.
All right, Nate Zielinski. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, Ronnie Castiglione is going to join us and talk about his favorite spring patterns right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.